Amen to what Brother Kenneth has said. I couldn't ask for a better introduction to what is on our heart this morning. Being ready and doing battle. I think he covered it, didn't he? But I want to go back, before I get into this, I want to go back, and by the way, if you want to be turning to it, Ephesians chapter 6, and I don't plan to spend much time with the armor, but I want to talk about the battle. And before I get into that, and while you're turning to that, one thing that Brother Kenneth said was those folks in Deuteronomy 8, when they had eaten and were full, he said, beware. And then he got on to the fact that if they forgot the Lord, they would perish. Wow, we believe in eternal security. We're good. That won't bother us, will it? Yes, it will. We can perish. Because he's talking about in this time. In this life. As a child of God, we can suffer and perish that way. And by the way, that kind of perishing shows up first in your spiritual life. You start showing up less at church. You start singing less of the songs. Or you don't have a heart for the singing. All those kinds of things start taking its toll. And then it continues on in your personal life. And so it's necessary that we face that battle. It's necessary that we engage in that battle. Because the battle is, you know, Satan's not out there with 10,000 angels behind him ready to destroy everybody, you know, come in and slay everybody in this building. The battle primarily is against your mind and your heart, and thereby he pulls you away from God. That's how Satan gets his victories, by pulling us away from God. And what's the thing that he wants most is to keep people from worshiping God. And so that's where he's most diligent. Anybody ever been affected by that? Are we affected by it right now? Do we have a desire to change that? Huh? Okay. I just want to make sure. Because you see, that's another problem. There's things that we know, but we don't have any interest in changing it. That's a big problem, isn't it? That's a huge problem. Church, to a great extent, we see it all around us, and we see it right here, the power that the church needs to be having on our lives. Oftentimes it's not happening. I wish I could change it for you, but I can't. I have to work on myself. Okay, we all have to do this ourselves. Because it's our mind and our heart that's affected most. Remembering the Lord. Remembering he's the one that's blessed us. We're not anything special. As a matter of fact, we don't deserve any of his blessings. Do we really appreciate that fact? We don't deserve anything. Now there's folks in this world that say, well, I'm not a wretch. I work hard. I deserve things. Well, Brother Kenneth read to you, it's God that giveth you power to get wealth. It's God that gave you the health to do those things, to earn those things. So there is a real battle in the world. And sometimes people are consumed by the battle and don't even realize it. And so we need to, first of all, one of the first things we need to do to prepare for battle is to understand what the battle is and who the enemy is. You know, we need to know who the enemy is, don't we? Oh, we know that. That's Satan. That's right. That's right. He's the enemy. But he also uses the flesh. He also uses the influences of this world. He uses people. By the way, how did Satan get to Adam? Who?
Through Eve.
Really? You know, there's a law. I think Brother Marty Smith mentioned it when he was here. There's a law of Bible study. It's not in the Bible, but it's a principle that's recognized, and it holds true. The first occurrence of something that you find in the Bible, you can rest assured that you'll find that consistently. Oh, there may be some differences in the way something's used, but generally, what you find in the Bible, the first time it's mentioned, you can just follow it right on through, and you'll find a pattern. That God introduces things and shows us the pattern, and then you can kind of use that as a basis for your Bible study in days ahead, and you'll find that it's consistent with that use. Well, we find that Satan used Eve to get to Adam. You think he's changed? Do you think he's left off that tool in his toolbox? No, he uses it all the time. He works through others to try to pull us away from God. We have to be mindful of that. You know, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth that we're not, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, I believe it is. 2 Corinthians. He said, he's talking about Satan's devices. He says, we're not ignorant of his devices. Paul says, you know how sometimes we when we talk about ourselves, we use the plural we. Paul is saying he wasn't ignorant. And I suspect that he was also suggesting to the church that they shouldn't be ignorant. But brethren, sometimes we are. Sometimes we're not mindful of Satan's devices. Sometimes he pulls the wool over our eyes. Sometimes he gets the best of us. Sometimes he wins victories. The teaching of that verse is that we should not be ignorant of his devices. But what has to happen is we need to know what those devices are so that we're not ignorant of his devices. And I talk about, I guess, one I've mentioned more than anything is discouragement. That Satan loves to use discouragement to get to God's people. But another thing that he uses quite frequently is he works through others to try to pull you away from the Lord. That's one of his favorite devices. We need to be mindful of that. We need to have our mind and our focus on the Lord and what we need to be dealing with in our own life and not let these other things pull us away from our service to the Lord. It's a real battle, isn't it? Every one of us here knows others who used to be more faithful to the Lord than they are today. Maybe we used to be more faithful to the Lord than we are today. Whatever the case, I'm saying, and I'm not trying to be critical here, I'm just pointing out the fact that it is a real battle. The battle is raging every day, and we need to be mindful of it and try to do what we can. See, I don't know how far I got with that thought a while ago, but when Brother Kenneth read about how that if they forgot the Lord, they would perish, what does that look like? What does it look like when someone forgets the Lord and fits into that category? He talked about perishing. Well, if you followed what he said, he described what that's like. The church at Laodicea, they were lukewarm. They were not fervent. God hadn't changed. God's blessings weren't any less. They changed. Why? Because they were rich and they began to look at those things and started substituting the things of this world instead of serving God. Kind of like the parable of the sower. When the weeds grow up and they choke out the word, there's too much of the weeds in there for the word to get in and have its effect. You see, it's all connected. God has chosen many ways to tell us the same principles. And if you'll keep reading his word, and if you hear it from enough directions and in enough situations, you'll get the principle and you'll be able to recognize that principle in many aspects of life. It's a battle. And we need to be mindful of that battle. And we need to guard ourselves. And if we are depending upon ourselves to make it in this battle, we are sunk. That's why he gives us armor. That's why he sent his son. Because we couldn't save ourselves. God sent his son to this world to suffer and die, to redeem us from our sins. And oh, bless your hearts. He did it. He did it in power. He did it in perfection. He did it to the absolute satisfaction of God the Father. And we're secure in what Jesus has done for us. And yet, while we live here, while we're waiting for him to come back to take us home to be with him, there's a battle that's still raging every day. And it's a battle for your mind. It's a battle for your heart. It's a battle to pull you away from God. We need to be aware of that. We need to be mindful of it. We need to be watching, examining ourselves to see if Satan's having any impact in pulling us away from God. God has given us so much. He's given us his word. He's given us the church. He's given us his people that we can encourage one another. Getting back again, his word, his promises. We know that he has power to supply all that we need. There's nothing that we need in service to God that he's not willing to provide. That is an absolute truth. There is nothing we face in this world in the way of temptation, in the way of trial, in the way of problems, in challenges and difficulties. There's nothing we face that God's not willing to help you deal with it. Now, oftentimes the way we look at those things needs a little focusing. Because we're looking at things in one way and we're expecting God to do one thing and he has something better in mind. And so when he shows us that better thing, we need to thank him for it and realize that it was our focus that needed changing and not God's will. All right, so I hope you found Ephesians 6 by now. Let me read four verses. Beginning of verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't forget the Lord. When you're blessed, don't get full and forget him. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where our help is, isn't it? In the power of his might. I don't have any might. My might is mighty strong. I mean, mighty weak. Okay? But there's no limit to the might of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All right? Put on the whole armor of God. And again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that armor. I think you're familiar with it. But here's why you need to put it on. All right? First of all, the lesson is put it on. Right? What good is it if we don't put it on? Do you remember we've talked about this before? How do you put it on? How do you put on the armor of God? Okay, reading and word. How about remembering what he says? Remember the breastplate of Christ's righteousness that's imputed to us, not our righteousness. Remember his truth. Gird about us like a girdle, okay, a belt, if you will. Hold us to add strength. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Christ, we have peace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We didn't earn it. We didn't mete out that peace. He's the one that got it. He obtained the victory by shedding his precious blood and redeeming us from our sins and reconciling, making peace between God and us. And that's a lasting peace. We have that. Yeah. Helmet of salvation, remembering. remembering that he has saved us, whatever we're having to face, it may take our life, but we're safe in the blood of Jesus. We may have serious challenges every day, but we can remember that he's there for us. And that'll save us from discouragement. That'll save us from despair. Hope. Shield of faith. How often do we get stung? How often are we burned and stung by the fiery darts of the wicked? If we happen to forget and let down that shield of faith and something happens and we think, oh, I should have known better. Doesn't that sting? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All right? He gives us all these things, and I'm not going to forget, hopefully I won't forget prayer. That's a big one toward the end. Prayer. All right? But there's a battle. And we need to be preparing ourselves for that battle by knowing who the enemy is, knowing how he operates, so that we can defend ourselves, trusting all the while, trusting in the Lord for the wisdom, for the strength, for the grace, for all that we need to be facing this battle and serving God faithfully and being what we need to be as members of our family, as members of our church, as members of our community, being what we need to be because of what we know to bring honor and glory to our God. You know, what glory to God is it for someone to be defeated and wrapped up in the things of this world if they're one of God's children and they've been faithful in the past, but they're no longer faithful? What glory to God is that? But we need to be careful because we could all become castaways. And so we need to remember the battle. So we need to prepare ourselves for battle. And we need to be engaged in the battle. Remember, there was a time when they came to Jesus and they said, thy mother and thy brethren are without, desiring to see thee. Remember that? We're given to that in a couple of places. And Jesus said, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Remember that? He knew who his mother was. He knew his brethren. He's asking the question for us and for them on that occasion. Who is it? Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? They that hear the word of God. Don't stop there. They that hear the word of God and do with it. These are my mother and my brethren. Matthew 12. All through the New Testament and the Old, because what Brother Kenneth read to you this morning is just that way. We need to know and we need to do. How about the Sermon on the Mount? Do you remember how that ends? Matthew 7, what is it, verse 24? Wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Oh, is there more? Yeah. And doeth them. See how important this is? He said, I liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The rains came, the floods, and the winds, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, because it was founded or built upon a rock. The point, you know, and you know the foolish side. He that heareth these sayings, oh, wait a minute. That's important too. There are some that hear but don't do. Oh, can that happen to a child of God? Yeah. It did at Laodicea. It did in the rich fool. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. What he was depending upon was shifting, changing. It wasn't strong. It wouldn't support the weight. It wouldn't be there for you when you needed it most. So, it may sound like I'm bouncing around here, but these principles are all tightly connected. There's a battle. God has told us how to win. Now, he sent the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Eternally, that victory is ours. We can never be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But we can sure make a mess of this life. We can sure make a mess. Our faith can become shipwrecked, like Paul said to Timothy. It can happen. And so we need to be careful. We need to be mindful of the battle and mindful of how much are we engaged in that battle so that we can continue to be faithful to God and be what we need to be for our families and be what we need to be for our church and be what we need to be in our community. Because letting your light shine is more, there's more opportunities for that out there than there is in here. Let your light so shine before men out there that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Had the pleasure to hear Elder Joe Nettles in the last couple of days. One of the, he didn't spend a lot of time on it, but he made this statement. You know how Jesus said we need to be salt and light? He said we need to be salty salt and lighty light. Now, if you don't remember anything else, just remember you need to be salty salt and lighty light, and you've got a good message to take with you. That's what we need. But a lot of times our salt has lost its savor. A lot of times our light's under a bushel. Is that God's fault? No, we put it there. We put it there because we set those things aside and we go after the things that we want in our life and we focus on those things that we want for ourselves and we become selfish and lazy in the service of God because we're too busy serving ourselves. Is that true? Can that apply to us? Okay, starting to get quiet in here. I don't want to lose you. All right. Brethren, I'd rather preach on something else. But this is what this church needs right now. I'd rather preach on eternal security. I'd rather preach on predestination. I'd rather preach on the election of God and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all is built upon that foundation. But we need these practical things so that we can bring more glory to God. And we can be more active in our service. And there can be more zeal instead of being lukewarm. All right? Put on the whole, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may, and here's the reason. Now we got sidetracked here by talking about putting it on. If we don't put it on, our results are not going to be good in the battle. Because, well, let me get to something else here. The battle is coming upon you. Whether you go out, you know, you don't have to go find the battle. You don't have to go out to meet it. No. Satan's going to bring it to you every day. You've got the old flesh that carries it with you every day. You've got the world and the world system. Every day we're exposed to the things of this world. And Satan is going to bring his A game every day. How about you? We got an A game. Depending upon the Lord, trusting in Him, looking to Him, asking Him for help, asking Him for the strength we need, asking Him for wisdom. We have an A-game. Do we bring it? Are we bringing it to the battle? Or are we letting Satan have his way? I'm afraid sometimes we hand it to him on a silver platter. It ain't worth it for us to do. And our churches are reflecting that attitude in our day, that Laodicean attitude. We're perishing. We're perishing. I don't know any other way to describe our churches today. And it's not just Primitive Baptists, it's everybody. But that doesn't mean we don't have to focus on ourselves. We're all perishing. Because iniquity doth abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew 24. Because the love of many shall wax cold. That's a gradual process. Little by little. Choice by choice. It waxes cold. We can change that. God can change that. We can't. Don't sit around waiting for God to change it. We can change it. If you're hearing this message, then you still have ears to hear, and we can do what we need to do to change this. And you don't have to change everybody else. If you'll just change yourself. I need to change myself. There's plenty of improvement that I can do, and I need to do that. All right? And every one of us needs to have that attitude. It's me. Elder Freddie Bowen, that you report on quite often. Elder Freddie Bowen, quite often I remember him, he used to say, if every member were just like me, what kind of church would my church be? That's sobering. If we can hear it, God's not left us. If you can't hear that, if it doesn't affect you, maybe God's already left. Jesus rebuked the people that he preached to for their being dull of hearing. Their heart had waxed gross. Their ears were dull of hearing. Dull of hearing means they've forgotten, and the word, they're not understanding their responsibility like they should, because other things have crept in and choked out the effect of the word, and so that word doesn't have the power that it used to. Oh, how we need to be mindful of this. So, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Here's the reason why we need to be doing it. That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do we understand that every day our success or failure in being faithful to God has a lot to do with us standing against the wiles of the devil? I'm satisfied there are days, weeks, months, maybe years, we don't even think about the devil's effect upon us. But he said we need this armor that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What I'm telling you is it has an effect upon you every day. It comes your way every day. We need protection. God has given us protection, but a lot of times we leave it in the closet at home and rush out with our day. And we are defenseless. I understand, yes, we're eternally secure, but we can sure perish in this life. And I'd rather preach other things, but this one is needful. This is needful for every one of us here. This is needful for me. This is needful for you. This is needful for us that we might bring more glory and honor to our God. Do we have a desire to do it? Do we want to do it? Is he worthy of it? We know he is. Are we willing to do what's necessary to make it happen? If we're trying, he'll help you. If we want to, he'll show us the way. If we're so full of the things of this world, if we've eaten and aren't full and forget the Lord, we don't even have the desire to do it. That's truth. That's truth. Elder Sonny Pyle years ago made a point that stuck with me. God's people, you know, we have the promise. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for what? They shall be filled. That doesn't mean that there's a promise to the elect of God that they shall be filled. He said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. When you come to the house of God, whether it's here or anywhere else, if you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, there'll be a promise that God will fulfill for you and bless your soul. I believe that because that's his promise. Even the Armenian that's speaking words that are not consistent with what we believe, you can get some crumbs from that. And bless your hearts, God can bless those things in such a way that even the preacher may not have had in mind what God opens up to your mind when he just mentions some of these things, and it can bless your soul. It can feed your soul. You're not limited to the preacher. The preacher needs God to bless it. The preacher needs the Spirit to open his heart and mind and loose his tongue and be able to preach the word. But you need the Spirit of God to open your heart to receive it. And in the process of opening your heart to receive it, he can also open your mind to even more than the preacher says. We're not limited to what a preacher says from the pulpit. But there are things that we can do to enhance our appetite. What Brother Sonny Pyle said that I mentioned and got off track here. He said you would think that if God's people do without the word of God for a while, they'd get hungrier and hungrier. But that's not the case. What happens is they lose their appetite. And they don't desire it. And they start filling up their life with the things of this world, thinking that's going to satisfy their longing. And it doesn't. There are things we can do to prepare ourselves for battle. And part of that battle is to have an appetite for the Word of God. That's part of your preparation against this preparation for this battle against Satan. What was the very first thing that Satan challenged in the Garden of Eden? The Word of God. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not surely die. God didn't say that. Satan changed, he challenged and he changed the Word of God. And when you change the Word of God, it ceases to be the Word of God because it's no longer the truth. And it's not what's going to feed your soul. And Satan is still doing the same things. If he can keep you from reading that word, he has won a great victory. If he can hinder you, if he can get you so busy that you won't take time to read that word, he's won. And until we get back to it, we may continue to perish in our discipleship of Jesus. It's just that serious, brethren. It's the Word of God is irreplaceable. If we don't have it, if we're not reading it, if we're not hungering for it, we're not growing. We're not being benefited by it. It's just that serious. It's a matter of life or death. Give us this day our daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God shall man live. We're talking about continuing to enjoy an abundant life here and now. Your reading the Word of God has nothing to do with your home in heaven. Jesus has taken care of that. But it has an awful lot to do with how much you perish. You know, lack, if you neglect the Word of God, has a lot to do with perishing in this life. We need it. We need it desperately. We need it more than we're availing ourselves to it. Because that battle is against your mind and your heart. And if Satan can win there, he's got you. He's got you. And he may have your family before long. And he may have your church before long. Oh, we see so much out there. But how much do we see in here? In our own heart. In our own church. It's important, brethren. It's desperately important. Paul said to the Colossian brethren, Colossians 1:13, that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, we all know what the word delivers means. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Well, if he's delivered us from the power of darkness, why are we so concerned about it every day? Because that word deliver, if you dig into it, you'll find that word deliver talks about drawing to oneself. And that's what God has done for us. In regeneration, he has drawn us unto himself. Bless your hearts. We're not talking about day to day. If we pay attention day to day and realize that there's that battle and we keep ourselves immersed in the Word of God, then it will keep us delivered in this timely world. We don't have to worry about the eternal consequences. But what we do have to battle with are the day-to-day consequences, don't we? The day-to-day salvation, which is a very real concept. There's so many in the umbrella of Christianity in our world today that really does, they don't see the difference between time salvation and eternal. They just try to apply everything to time. Well, bless your hearts, I'm thankful because I come short. I stumble and falter along the way. I'm so thankful that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, that he finished the work of redemption. But I need him every day to walk in paths of righteousness. I need him every day as my intercessor when I sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I need that every day. And that cleansing, you know, Jesus has put away our sins. But that cleansing is the purging of the conscience. And restoring our heart. Feel our feeling of closeness with God. Those sins separate us. Those sins, we heard yesterday a wonderful, able, very powerful sermon about how that there's a sin unto death. When someone begins to take up sin and begins to practice those things, and it could be anything that constitutes sin. It's not one particular thing. Anything that leads us away from God can destroy the joys of your salvation. Oh, how we need to guard our heart. Oh, how we need to guard our mind and stay close to the Lord. That's where our safety is, isn't it? And in doing that, we're putting on the armor because we're remembering our need for the Lord. We're remembering our vulnerability. We're remembering the power of the enemy, our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion goeth to and fro, seeking whom he may, or goeth about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to tear up your life. He wants to tear up your family. He wants to tear up this church. Can he do it? You know, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? Amen. But that's eternally. Because Satan can get in this church and tear it to pieces. To whatever degree he's working, we have to be careful. Because he can tear up churches. Yes, upon this rock, the revelation of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, he reveals that to his church, the called out. And we're safe in the blood of Jesus. But as far as this life is concerned, he can wreak havoc. That's in the church, in your family, in your personal life, in your witness before others. He can tear things up if we're not looking to the Lord and trusting Him and begging Him for wisdom and begging Him for strength and begging Him to restore, if we need to be restored to us, the joy of His salvation. We need it. That's our defense in this life, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then he goes through, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Time's getting away, but listen. The battle is against the darkness of the... It's, like I said, it's not Satan out there with 10,000 angels of his that's got drawn swords that can come in here and slay all of us in a moment. That's not the battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's a battle for the mind and the heart. And that's how we need to protect ourselves. We need to remember our need of the Lord. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to do those things which keep us close to the Lord. There's our safety. Because it's against the spiritual, how's he put it here? Against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. God is light. Right?
Yeah.
1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What is God? He's holy. He's just. He's pure. As I go through this list, sense how the Holy Spirit rejoices within you as we speak of all that God is. He's holy. He's righteous. He's good. He loves us more than anyone else could ever love us in this life. He's all powerful, so he can keep his promises. He's truth. Everything he's told us is the truth. He can keep us. He loves us enough not only to save us eternally, but to provide the very best for us right now. But you've got an adversary. The devil. And he liked nothing better than to pull your allegiance and your heart away from God. That adversary, in John chapter 8, Jesus said he's a liar. Don't you hate liars? Those people that tell you a lie and not even think twice about it. How does that make you feel? Does that rejoice your heart when you talk about what Satan is? He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Don't you hate it when somebody deceives you? Oh, they speak kind words and you think they're your friend, and they're not. They're looking for an opportunity to work against you. That's what Satan does all the time. He's looking for an opportunity to sting you, to stab you. Not only is he a liar, Jesus said in John chapter 8, he's a murderer. He wants to take your life. That's why he's going about seeking whom he may befriend. Oh, that's part of it. That's the first part of it. He wants to devour you. He's a liar, Jesus said, John 8. He's a murderer. He's a deceiver. You see how all those things make you feel? Why would we want to listen to Satan about anything? What has he got that you want? He shows you the glitter. He shows you something appealing. But like James talks about, his enticements are like a baited hook. James talks about it being enticing, and an enticement is like a baited hook. It looks, you know, I don't know how much a fish thinks about it, but you know, that fish in the water, you got bait on the hook, and that fish swallows the bait. Oh, how many times do we swallow the bait? And then we find out we're hooked. We're caught. We're about to lose our life. That's what Satan does. That's his modus operandi. That's what he wants. That's where he finds his pleasure, is destroying the pleasure of others. Taking away the joy of our salvation. And he's good at it. And he's diligent. God's light. Satan's a liar. But what did Jesus say about himself? He said, "I am the light of the world." Earlier in John chapter 1, I believe it's verse 4, where it speaks about Jesus said, Jesus, in him was life. Life with an F. In him was life. And the life is the light of men. How can you see the light of God? You cannot see the light of God until Jesus gives you the life. And when he gives you life, then you can see the light. Then you can see God. So if you've been blessed to know who God is, if you've been blessed to know what he is, if you've been blessed to know your need of him, it's because God is light and Jesus has given you life. And that life is the light of men. He has given us eyes to see this enemy. He has given us ears to hear instruction of how to avoid the devices of Satan. We should not be ignorant of his devices, but oftentimes we are willingly ignorant of his devices because we're not even paying attention to it. We're just letting it happen. And it's taken a toll on our lives. Oh, we need to realize the battle is raging, and if we're not careful, it will destroy the joy of our salvation. And we'll find ourselves drifting in this world, trying to fill those desires of the heart with the things of this world that can never satisfy. My time's gotten away. Oh, there's so much more. Put on the armor. All right, and we talked about undoing. This may have to be another message. I'll leave you with this. Prove it. Prove it. Is God merciful?
Yes.
Prove it to yourself.
There you go.
Is he all powerful? Can he provide what you need? Prove it to yourself. Do you remember when in First Samuel 17, I believe it is, when David said he'd go out against Goliath? Whew. That little teenager, that youth, is going to go out against this seasoned warrior that's 9 feet 9 inches tall.
Yeah.
And he wasn't skinny. I mean, he was a big, formidable enemy. All right? So David said, "I'll go." So Saul said, "Well," I imagine he was looking in disdain. "Okay, but at least take my armor." Remember that? "At least take my armor." Now, evidently, Saul had good intentions because guess what? That armor worked for Saul. Saul had proved it. It worked for him. But David put it off. Oh, he tried it on. But David put it off. Why? He said, "I haven't proved it. I don't know if it'll work for me." Saul, it worked for Saul. But I don't know if it'll work for me. Do you know how we are so many times in this life? I know God's good. I know he can work whatever. I don't know if he'll do it for me. Isn't that where we so oftentimes leave it? I know he's good. I know he's powerful. I know he's faithful. I know he's good, just. I know he's holy. I know he loves us and he provides. But I don't know if he'll do it for me. And we stop right there. Prove him. Just like in Malachi when he was talking about tithes and offerings. He said, prove ye now herewith and see. Bring ye all the tithes and the offering and prove. Bring in all the tithes and offerings and prove me now herewith and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive it. On that principle, God says, just prove me. Try me. See if I'm not faithful. And in every one of these principles, in every way that we need the Lord, prove him, try him, step out on faith and say, Lord, I know you're true, I know you're just, I know you're holy, I know you're faithful, so I'm going to step out on faith. Prove it. And when he shows you how faithful he is, you'll be stronger. You'll remember it the next time you need faith. You'll grow in grace. God will never let you down. All right? Now, I didn't say he's always going to perform according to your expectations. I said he'll never let you down. He's faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his will. And he will take care. He has promised. He has put himself on the line to take care of his people. And so he's done that by giving his son. And we're safe in him eternally. And as long as we're trusting his word every day, he's revealing himself to us. He's showing himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart's perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. As long as we're depending upon him and trusting in him, he will provide for us. Again, it may not be exactly what you're wanting, but it'll be what you need. Put on the whole armor. Don't leave it in the closet. Remember, there's a battle. Remember, the battle is not out there. He didn't give us a physical sword to go out there and fight against angels and the devil. The battle is in, it's not imaginary, but the battle is for your mind. And the battle is for your heart. And anything Satan can do to drive a wedge or to get you to do something other than what the Word of God says, he wins. Brethren, don't let him have any more victories. Hold on tight. Trust. And stand in the evil day. Having done all, stand. May God bless you, sir.